Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I am not busy this Thanksgiving weekend because I'm in Canada and we did it a month ago. We're way ahead of the curve. But Dr. Carol, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Deb. I'm just delighted to join you and talk about pets.
Yeah, you know what? I thought of you in the last little while because I was talking to the listeners about this weird article I saw from Olympia, Washington, where they, I'm sorry to bring this up, but do pot-eating pigs mean yummier bacon? They're feeding the pigs pot. Good Lord, what a waste. Yeah, no, I mean, that's expensive diet for pigs. I hope it pays off. They say they feed them stems and roots and leaves, the stuff that the growers don't want, and it boosts their appetite. That's what the deal is. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that sounds a little bit fishy to me. I'm not really sure what to say about that. But hey, if they don't have anything better to do with their leftover stems and if the pigs are happy to eat the pot and it creates safe pork for human consumption without residues and worries and fears about what else it may or may not do, then I would say let the evidence speak for itself.
It kind of reminds me, a while back, I think it's still on the market, but a while back there was a trend in, it was feeding horses that were used for horse meat, but also cattle that were used for beef. Red wine. And it wasn't like the high grade red wine, but it is fermented grapes and, you know, what that would do to them. And apparently it made them really mellow and the meat really tender. So I don't know if it was a gimmick or if it really worked. It's kind of interesting, though, to consider.
Well, I think it's very interesting to consider. And we'll have to keep an eye on that and let all of our pet loving listeners know the facts about pot-eating pigs. Hello? Well, apparently we've just had a little bit of a sound glitch. Good afternoon. If our pet-loving listeners are still with us, we are experiencing some temporary
technical
difficulty.
There we go. No, I'm back. It's just pouring rain here. You wouldn't believe it. Well, maybe you would. In Vancouver, when it's beautiful, it's really, really beautiful. But today they were giving us all these combination storm warnings on the news. They were telling us it's going to be, you know, terrible downpours and wind and rain for the next day. And then, oh, yay, then temperature's going to drop and it's going to be freezing and there's going to be snow. And then who knows what. But in Canada, when they give you a weather warning on TV, you totally take it seriously. It's like no fooling around. So, yeah, we're probably having a little bit of reception problems, but I should be okay for the rest of this. I see the storm is kind of cleared. So I think we've left what they call the Hawaiian weather system that was blowing in our way. And now we're back to the Arctic weather system. What a treat. I like the Hawaiian better, but, you know, snow over rain is always a nice change too. So maybe while we're at it, we should give some tips for people listening, Dr. Carol, maybe because Dr. Carol's a veterinarian and she knows a lot about how to care for your pets traditionally and alternatively and all kinds of things. So if you want to call the show and find out, get some free medical advice. You don't get this very often. 1-888-627-6008 is the way to do it. You can call right now. And if you're listening right now and you wish you could get it on your computer or your iPod or something like that, WPetTalkRadio.com is where you can listen live anytime. So Dr. Carol will be taking your questions. And right now we'll just start, Dr. Carol, if you don't mind, with some tips for people on how they can, I mean, I worry about the salt on the pads of the paws when people walk their dogs in the city. What should people be worrying about with winter coming?
Well, you know, that's a great tip because for many of us, including those of us here in Ohio, it is a bit brisk outside, chilly for sure. So everybody wants to know, Deb, how cold is too cold for a dog? Well, as a rule of thumb, if it's too cold for you, it's too cold for your pet. If you're worried about...
Well, does that depend on breed, though? Like, I'm thinking a whippet with no coat and no fat is very different from a big old Malamute who kind of likes to bury itself in snow. You know what I mean? Or really...
You know, you're absolutely right. And I think really it just comes down to good old common sense. When it's sub-zero outside, no matter what breed you might be or how thick or thin your hair coat is, it just takes a few minutes for frostbite and hypothermia to set in. If it's just a moderate day, the mm-hmm. temperatures are not sub-zero, then certainly, you know, use yourself as a guide. If you need a jacket to go outside and you have a short-haired pet, then he or she probably needs a jacket as well. If it's a moderate winter day and you've got a Malamute or a Husky with a great big thick coat, then sure, they're going to be fine outside for a reasonable amount of time while you keep your eye on them. What you don't want to do is let them wander around outside or forget that they're outside. And then by the time you find them, you might find something that you didn't bank on. I had a receptionist a few years back. She had all kinds of little Maltese dogs. And, you know, mm-hmm. they have the long, white, flowing fur. Well, yeah. One of these little Maltese slipped outside. She went off to work and came home. And she opened her door after dinner that evening. And there was the long-haired white Maltese literally frozen in the snow like a statue. Long story short, we were able to get that dog fixed up, and he's perfectly fine now.
Wow. But, he's like cryogenic. He like, yeah, it came back to life.
Yeah.
Cal, I wonder if he saw the light and everything. If only we could ask him. Oh.
Yeah. So you know, again, things you can do is, you know, no normals. Have a rectal thermometer. Normal rectal thermometer, 101.5 degrees Fahrenheit for dogs and cats. Understanding, you know, body temperatures below 96 degrees Fahrenheit, usually incompatible with life. You know, frostbite is a big deal. What are the areas on your pet most susceptible to frostbite? Well, Deb, those are going to be the ears, the feet, yeah. the tip of the tail, and the nose. Frostbitten tissues, initially they turn like a reddish color, after which they become grayish white. So if you have a pet and you think he or she has a little frostbite, give them a warm bath, wrap them up in warm towels, make them a little bowl of warm chicken noodle soup, and call your veterinarian. And remember, don't rub frostbitten tissue because that just causes further damage. Hey, what about you holiday shoppers? Is it okay to leave your pets in the parked car when you go to the mall and start shopping?
I don't think so.
Hey, you know, just like in the summer, cars heat up and pets get heat stroke. Same thing in the winter. Cars cool down just as quickly as they heat up. So if you're going to go shopping this winter, no matter where you live, the best thing you can do is leave that pet at home. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the cold, I worry about the water freezing. I think people don't think about that. They have an outdoor dog and they don't realize that people think, oh, he'll just drink the snow. That doesn't work, does it?
Snow is not an acceptable substitute for water at any point for any pet. And if you do have an animal, a dog, for example, that is living outside, they have enacted some laws to help protect these pets as far as shelter, bedding, food and water, etc. Remember, put hot water outside because it's going to get cold pretty quick. You can put things like, you know, honey and Gatorade, etc. in the water. Makes them a little more tasty. You know, other things.
Okay, well, we have to go to commercial. We'll be back with Dr. Carol for the whole show if I could keep her. If nobody dials her emergency hotline and gets her operating. I always picture when you ask me to be on hold, I always picture you running back in and stitching up some poor animal or some lucky animal. But right now, we're going to go to break and then we'll come back with Dr. Carol. If you've got questions for her, 1-888-627-6008. And as always, you can ask me training questions, dog or cat. We're going to talk about some crazy stuff that I've pulled from the news. Stay tuned to, well, you know, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
An Treat your furry best friend with our Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's P-U-R, spray pet. PurrSprayPet.com or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And you can listen to us anytime at wpettalkradio.com. You can also call us, get my free pet training advice for your cats and your dogs, or get veterinary advice for free. And that's a big deal. Here at 1-888-627-6008 from, well, the only, the one and only, the incomparable Dr. Carol. So welcome back to the show, Dr. Carol.
Well, gosh, Deb, I'm so glad to be joining your show today. And for all of our pet-loving listeners out there, I would like to share our new website, chagrinfallspetclinic.com. It's got over 1,000 articles addressing everything from A to Z as far as your dog and or cat's optimal health and wellness. And we've opened a beautiful integrative veterinary clinic here in northeastern Ohio. ChagrinFallsPetClinic.com, and you'll find all the facts right there.
Nice. So you know what I want to tell people? I want to tell people that I have 2 examples of a cat that can fetch. Do you believe me?
I want to believe you.
You want to believe me? Oh, okay. The first example is this cat I met, and honestly, I call this fetch. What he does is he waits in his cat scratch. Okay, so it starts with him finding the silver ball, bringing it over to you, dropping it, and then he runs up the cat scratch and waits for you to throw it. He catches it or chases it or grabs it and brings it back and drops it at your feet and does it again. Is that not a fetch?
I think that that's fantastic. And you know, that Russian dog trainer, that Vladimir fella?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's a guy that really had a handle on how to get a cat to do what you want it to do. And he got him to do all kinds of crazy things. So I can see that with extreme patience and the right training system, I believe that cats can fetch.
You know what? If you pick a trick the cat's inclined to do or naturally has a kind of talent for, it sort of works with the cat, they actually train up quicker than dogs, which I know is hard to believe. But like just the other day, I had a cat trainer on the show and she was telling everybody how to teach a cat to just spin like in a circle. And what? I just happened to be going to somebody else's house to train a blue heeler that day. And while I was talking to the guy about payment and whatnot, I was standing there at the counter talking to his cat that he just adopted the day before. And I taught it to spin while I was talking to him. I was kind of amazed. Now, every time I see this cat, when I go see the dog, it comes over and it tries to initiate spinning for me, you know, and it's just like, okay, I guess I believe it. I'm a believer. Dusty Rainbow made me a believer. And the cats maybe learn things quicker than dogs if you pick the right thing.
Well, you know, Deb, whether or not your cat spins, if you live in a winter climate, before you start your car this winter, knock on the hood or honk the horn. So if you got one of those little spinning kitties who's taking up shelter in your nice warm car engine, he can jump out before the motor starts to spin around.
That's a great tip. Okay, so this cat example of Fetch was a good example. That's not my cat. Okay, my cat's Fetch. But my cats have like a very awful example. And I bet you everybody out there who has a cat that has indoor-outdoor access can identify with this one. This is what happens here. One of my older cats brings in a dead something. Or half-alive, wounded mouse, usually. Uh-huh. The kittens find the mouse. The kittens play with the mouse. I find the mouse. By the time I find the mouse is dead. I take the mouse outside. Somehow, within a minute, no matter where I put it in the garden, no matter how far I bury it, they fetch it and they retrieve it right back to the house and they drop it at my feet. Now, that's our version of Fetch here at Camp Goodthumb with the resident cats. It's not exactly what I want, but I can't argue. It is Fetch.
Well, they're definitely fetching. And if it's smell induced, you know, knowing that cats, for sure, as well as dogs, have a sense of smell far more acute than ours. You know, that actually makes sense to me, Deb.
Well, now I double bag them and I make my son carry it all the way out to the roadside garbage because otherwise, forget it, you know. And that thing is bear-proof, raccoon-proof because everything comes here. I actually just heard from my neighbor yesterday morning, got a text from him. Did you have a bear last night? And no, I never have a bear. I have multiple dogs. I run Camp Good Dog with 50 resident dogs sometimes. No, we successfully mark our territory. There's no bear here. He had a bear in his freezer in the middle of the night. And then so he went out to the freezer. He had like an extra freezer in the garage. He emptied it all, put all the food in the house. But the bear came back anyway and was just sort of standing there looking at the freezer. It's like, it makes me think of my dad when he would wake up in the middle of the night for a snack, you know, standing there looking at the fridge trying to figure out what he wants. This guy has a bear doing that and right behind his house. Oh,
well,
no.
I'll tell you, there's bears everywhere. We've got bears right here in northeastern Ohio. So I'm hearing you loud and clear.
I know a lot of people are afraid of the bears, and there's a lot you have to do to be safe around them, but I've had an awful lot of contact with them over the years, and I've never had an issue. You know, I think having a lot of barking dogs is part of the reason, but still, it's, you know, I respect them, they respect me. I don't go anywhere near the traps that are set, you know, to catch them, because they're people who pose for pictures and that's their last picture, you know, because they're trying to bait a bear. That's not a good plan. So you got to keep your grounds clean, your fruit trees clean, your garbage clean. This time of year, they're about to hibernate, right? So they are starving. The salmon have finished. They're really, really hungry. They'll go for anything. They'll go for bird seed. They'll go for your cat litter, your used cat litter. I mean, anything is food to them right now. So you got to be safe. It's interesting to me that the bears in Florida don't hibernate and that the bears here do, you know, and there's some other weird things about bears. Like right now, certain populations of polar bears are going to go extinct, but other populations are thriving. But overall, the species, that part of the bear species, that branch, the polar bear, which is bigger and different and more aquatic than the rest of the bears, they're going to die out most likely. But they've started, some of them, to crossbreed with other bears. So now there's this new hybrid bear. That's just totally cool how our world adjusts, don't you think?
Well, maybe they'll miniaturize them and then we'll have
smaller. They're bigger than our bear, but they're smaller than the polar. They're sort of in the middle.
maybe we'll have designer baby bears coming up in the future.
They're not going to be that cute. But no, but it's, you know, it's odd because they have very different habits. One is migratory and aquatic, and the other is hibernating and, you know, like complete, like just sort of different habitat. Well, the polar bear hibernates too, but different habitat, different way of raising young, all kinds of things are different. And then I think of the koi wolf in the east, like Nova Scotia and places like that. The wild coyotes have mixed with the wild wolves, and there's this larger than a coyote hybrid that's smarter than a wolf and less fearful of humans. So it's not a good thing. There have been some attacks. We're going to come back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. If you've got questions for the good doctor, call 1-888-627-6008 or for me, Deb Wolf. And you can always find me, DeborahWolfOnline.com, or you can check out my cute dogs. And I'm going to post pictures of kittens at Camp Good Dog Facebook. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I need you.
Scratch it. Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies as we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo. Look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Dr. Carol, did you happen to hear about the tiger in Paris?
You know, I can honestly say that I have not heard about the Parisian tiger.
Well, for all last week, they were covering it on our news, the way CNN covers things, you know, like latest sightings, spottings, hospital closed, all this sort of stuff. And it was like round-the-clock coverage flicking back to this tiger. Some woman stopped her car and took a picture of it because she thought she saw a tiger, and she called it into the authorities there, the animal control type people, conservation people. And she reported that she thought it might be a lynx, it might be a tiger. She wasn't sure. But when they saw the actual photograph, and then later the paw prints, because, you know, they got like whole teams of uniformed guys with guns and the whole thing. Anyway, it was right in Paris, right in the backyard parking lot of the hospital. So the hospital was on shutdown. There was all this stuff going on. And then in the end, it was like one of these stories that explodes and then fizzles. It wasn't a tiger after all. It might have been somebody's cat or a lynx. They're not really sure. It must have been a muddy day because the print was bigger than it was supposed to be. There isn't a tiger loose in Paris. But it was a bad news week, I guess, because it's all they were talking about last week.
They were grabbing for something. Hey, Deborah, did you know that that we can now offer reversible birth control for dogs?
Reversible birth control for dogs. Yeah, you mean like the shot that wears off in 2 years on a female or something? 6 months?
No, it's a little pellet the size of a grain of rice. It's good for male or female dogs. It lasts 6 to 12 months. They implant it under the skin. Takes a couple weeks to kick in. And then for 6 to 12 months, which is how long the little chip lasts, your pet isn't neutered or altered in any way. Ooh. but won't get knocked up.
Okay, as a dog breeder, this is a critical question here.
Critical question.
That heat that she has, that I can't breed her, is a real tough one for everybody. The males are going crazy. The females dying to get to them. Everybody's out of sorts. Okay, does that mean there's none of that? There's no 3 weeks of pandemonium
That's exactly what it means.
I'm sort of thinking I'm going to stop reading dogs. Just as I decide to stop reading dogs, you take the worst part away. Oh, that's interesting, though. You're always telling me reproductive interesting things. You had those fake testicles and then the neuter shot. And then
this is Dr. Carol. Yeah, it's an alternative to the nudicles, which are the little plastic silicone, if you will, implants to put in the scrotal sacs if you had your male dog neutered and you don't want him to be embarrassed. And this is not the same as the chemical injection where we give a shot into each little testicle to chemically neuter the male dog. This is just a little microchip the size of a little piece of grain. It's good for male and female dogs. They implant it. It lasts anywhere from 6 months to a year. Takes about a month or so just to kick in. And when the chip is implanted, there's no signs of heat or anything like that. And there's no.
You know what else this would be good for? When you have a female that you do not want to breed anymore for health reasons or age, but she's past having surgery, like because of the maybe she had something go really wrong with her, so she can't get spayed, but you don't want her pregnant. I've met dogs like this where the breeder just spends years fearing the worst, fearing the escape. So this is great for that too. It does worry me in terms of, buying and the people who breed ethically, there could be a lot of animals sold that look intact that aren't, right?
Well, that sort of,
with the needle.
Yeah, with
the
anything.
Stud dog one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With anything, there can be a.
And then is a medicated dog, like when you go to a show and the dogs, even though they're intact, even though they're with other intact males and they're in a closed scenario and everything's fired up and everybody's competitive and it's anxious a little bit, they're still so sweet to everyone. They never fight, right? They get disqualified if they fight. That for me is a check in the system, because the most aggressive dogs are not going to hack it in the ring or behind the stage or on the set or let a stranger touch them. But if they're medicated, so they're not having their heats and they're not having their urges.
Right.
Are they going to be sweeter anyway? And then you get this, it's like not necessarily an indicator. Do you know what I mean? Well, it's almost like they're falsely nice.
Deborah, that's a great point. According to the research, this product has helped to reduce aggression in certain animals. So yeah, it's going to make them a little sweeter, and it does cause a little bit of weight gain because they eat a little bit more. The actual drug itself is called deslorelin. It's a hormone suppressant drug, and this reversible contraception for dogs is sold under the name of Supralorin, which is a funny name, but that's what it's sold as. And this drug has also been approved by the FDA to treat enlarged prostate glands in unneutered older dogs that are not cancerous. So, it gives people an option, especially people with show dogs that might not want to continuously breed that kind of a thing.
But I do think you're going to be able to get a dog to maybe champion or grand champion based on behavior that doesn't really show when he's not medicated. He's going to be a lot harder to handle and not do as well in a showroom if he wasn't on this. So breeders will be able to take advantage of this, I think. I like the sweetness. I want sweet dogs. So it's kind of an important check for me. I also worry about allergies, and I worry about this with anything that's long dose like that, like under the skin, good for a year, good for 6 months. Because if you get a medicine from the vet for your dog or your cat, and you get the signs, which maybe we should go over, itching or whatever the signs would be for that medicine the vet told you to watch for, you call, and then usually they tell you to discontinue and come in. But you can't discontinue something that's under the skin and going to go for 6 months. What if the pet starts, reacting badly or shedding or getting sick or losing weight or,
That's a great point. According to the literature, this drug in the availability of a microchip, has been around for about 8 years, and they've tested 500 dogs with basically no side effects, other than a little bit of weight gain, and they get a little sweeter. The thing is, you can also use this medication to treat adrenal disease in ferrets, which is interesting. And I think the big thing on this, Deborah, with respect to what you're saying is, if the microchip, you know, it kind of moves, then yeah. If you can't find it, it's hard to get it back out. So that was the one thing you really, yeah,
okay,
you really need to know where it is.
We only have a minute, Dr. Carol, we only have a minute before the break. I am keeping you for the next segment. So,
okay.
Do you want to give out your website one more time just before we go to break?
Absolutely. It's chagrinfallspetclinic.com. Hey, give us a call toll free. 1-866-DR-CAROL, 866-372-2765, with a beautiful integrative pet clinic right here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio.
So you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with your host, Deborah Wolf. And I'm going to ask Dr. Carol when we get back a simple question that I thought of when she was doing her explanation earlier. What kind of a thermometer is better? You said rectal earlier in your recommendation, but what if I'd rather stick something in my dog's ear? Okay, we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and Dr. Carol is with us, and she's going to answer the big question, rectal or ear thermometer? I know my dog probably doesn't care, but I would rather go through the ear. What, is it not okay to use the ear?
You know what, if you've got a thermometer and it's accurate and it works, hey, I think that's just great. For the majority of pet owners, certainly a digital thermometer that works, that they know how to, you know, that's easy to use, is perfectly fine. As a veterinarian myself, there's a couple silly little advantages to using the old-fashioned rectal glass thermometers, the most important being absolute accuracy of the temperature. So that's my preference, but I think as a pet owner, if you guys want to get digital thermometers, I think it's just great.
Well, the thing is, I think most of us are a little reluctant to do that to our animal, even if our animal's well and healthy. But when our animal's in pain, you don't want to start Vaseline and find it and sterilize and stick it in. And so if we're just trying to shoot for, is this urgent? Do I need to go see the vet? Or what should I tell the vet? You know, if it's that kind of a question, I don't know if we need the accuracy, but we do need to take the temperature. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people don't even keep a thermometer because they don't want to have to stick it in their pet's bum when the vet says, oh, can you check and see if there's a temperature? So it's better if they use the one in the ear because then they'll use it. right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of, maybe we can go over that, Dr. Carol, if you wouldn't mind. When, first, there's two things. How does temperature, you know, like when I call the vet and I have a pet that's got something wrong with it down at the kennel or something, right away they're going to ask me a few questions. Is it eating? Is it drinking? Does it have a fever? How long has this been going on? How long has it been in your care? I mean, a bunch of questions I got to be ready to answer. So maybe we could go through some of that stuff and what people should be watching for. And then the other thing is when you do send someone home with medicine, you know, how do they know when maybe, my pet's having an allergic reaction to this? So maybe we could go over both those because I think we hinted at it, but these are important things for people.
You know, that's a great point. You know, and all this talk about thermometers and questions obviously just brings us to emergencies, which in spite of our best efforts, emergencies occur. So knowing your veterinarian procedures for an emergency, being able to recognize a true emergency, and then knowing how to react can absolutely be a life-saving measure. So with respect to thermometers, whether it's rectal or digital, as long as you have one, stick it in your first aid kit and make sure that you know, obviously, how to use it. Normal rectal temperature in a dog or a cat, 101 degrees 0.5 Fahrenheit, 37.5 degrees centigrade. Temperature extremes above 105, below 96 degrees Fahrenheit are generally incompatible with life, if you will. So keeping that thermometer on hand is a great idea. What else should you have, you know, in a pet first aid kit? You know, rescue remedy or the box flowers, just a homeopathic combination of flowers. You can put a few drops on the hairless inner area of your pet's ear, which is very simple to do. That's a homeopathic pressure point. It relieves the stress, tension, and anxiety for about an hour or so. So as you're driving to the emergency center, it's very helpful. And if you need to redo those drops every 20 minutes, it's perfectly fine. For those of you that live in the winter areas of this country or Canada or wherever you might reside, what are great things to keep handy? A blanket, some towels, your thermometer. As we said earlier, the name and phone number, not only of your veterinarian, but also of the closest emergency facility. Remember that pet poisoning is a major problem. It might even be a bit more common in cold than warm weather. Remember,
antifreeze is the big one, right?
Yeah,
steer clear. Just don't even think. One tablespoon can kill a golden retriever. It's terrible, terrible stuff. Smells good, tastes good, draws kids and pets every year to die. Like, just don't even leave it out. Don't even let your pet wander in a gas station where there might be a puddle of it under the snow or something. It's just deadly. But right. You know what? When you say that about the first aid kit, so a standard human first aid kit is going to have the things you need, like bandages and stuff like that. But then you need to add to it some of the things Dr. Carol just mentioned, plus maybe a razor for shaving if you need to shave an area of a pet at some point, a muzzle. And even if your dog's super sweet with a broken leg in the middle of an intersection, it's not going to be super sweet when a stranger tries to pick it up. So you do need a muzzle. You do. And a magazine, because a magazine can be used as a brace for most animals. If your dog's really, really big, you might have to carry something like an umbrella. But that can be tied to help you get out of somewhere. Just thinking, what else? What about antihistamine? Because that's a problem for me. I'm out on a big old dog walk in the forest and somebody finds a hornet nest. It doesn't leave it, decides to try to catch the hornets or some stupid thing. And now I got a problem. This lab now looks like a pit bull. Now it looks like a Shar Pei. Oh, dear. Right? What about the bee sting? All of a sudden, the dog rolled in something you don't even know what, and it comes back, and it's swelling fast. What do you do?
Well, certainly an antihistamine like Benadryl, assuming that you are able to ascertain the correct dose, is fine. With respect to bee stings, biggest sign is a big swollen nose because they stuck their nose in the wrong spot. A little bit of baking soda and water, mix it together, make a thick paste, and just go ahead and apply that over the swollen area. It helps to reduce the pain, and it works quite well. It neutralizes the acid venom. And then again, you know, the Benadryl comes up. You know, in general, 30, 40-pound dog, you're going to use about 25 milligrams. 60 to 75-pound dog, you're probably going to use about 50 milligrams. Other things for your kit, Arnica, a couple of drops on the tongue every 15 minutes is great for muscle injury and trauma. A Steptic pencil or powder for those bleeding toenails that don't want to stop. And if you need to induce...
Well, Dr. Carroll, we have to cut to break. We're going to finish this list when we come back. I would add to it onion on a bee sting and tobacco on a bee sting. If you're ever on a camping trip, a kid gets stung, both those things work. Break off a cigarette and just stuff it right on there with some water. The same with an onion. Cut an onion open and just stick it right on the bee sting. But we'll be back with more of these great tips on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I just want to think about all the animals who've been adopted, rescue animals, secondhand animals, animals thrown away, all the people who adopted them since this is American Thanksgiving. If you're an American and you adopted an animal in the last year, I want to thank you. So thank you. And stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now, introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I am chomping at the bit to start our last segment. I often notice, Dr. Carroll, how many of our sayings have to do with animals, like that one, chomping at the bit for the horse. Don't count your puppies before they hatch. You know, don't count your puppies before they're born. There's so many things that apply. So to the first aid kit, what else would I add? Let's think about this carefully for people.
Well, if you got a ripped up toenail or something like that, a Steptic pencil, a silver nitrate stick, or even a little bit of that corn powder. So don't cut your dog's toenails unless you've got something to stop the bleeding. But if you've got that in your first aid kit and he rips a nail because you're out on the trails, you'll be okay.
See, you know, this is something that bugs me about you veterinarians. When you when you clip my dog's nails, you got these little matchsticky things. So if the dog gets cut, you just zip and it's done. I have to make do with this powder and pencils and all this other stuff. Unless I can get one of you to give me a box of one of those, and then I'm golden. You guys got better equipment.
well, sure, but that's just silver nitrate sticks. So you can buy that on the internet all day long.
Oh, there you go. You see, I'm just not savvy to these things. I've been borrowing and owing favors, giving free boarding and pet sitting to veterinarians.
There you go.
For things that I don't even need to trade for. Uh-oh, they're conning me, are they?
Yeah, and hey, listen, you guys, going back to that antifreeze, if you're going out to buy antifreeze, buy Sierra. Sierra is a brand of antifreeze that uses propylene glycol as the active ingredient instead of ethylene glycol. The propylene glycol works just as well in your car, but it's a whole lot safer for your pets. And as of last year, by FDA mandate, they added a bittering agent to the propylene glycol, or the antifreeze, if you will. So it's not quite as enticing to pets. It's still enticing, but that's just a little tip. If you're going out there to get it, make sure and buy Sierra, the Sierra brand, little bit safer.
In Canada, you might not be able to get that. I'm not sure. There's one here called Amsoil that's you know, a lot less toxic. I mean, none of these things are going to be good for your pets, but but much less toxic.
Yeah, and you know,
what I have in my first aid kit that other people probably don't realize they might need with a dog or a cat is I keep baby socks and pantyhose. Baby socks and pantyhose and nylons, that kind of thing, because it's great for just a quick bandage, a quick put it on the paw to get to the vet, keep the bandage on kind of thing. So, and a cone collar wouldn't hurt if you think your pet's going to pick apart what you did and you're the only driver and you're rushing a dog or a cat that's injured to the vet.
Yeah, and those are great. If you need to induce vomiting, a little hydrogen peroxide or syrup of Ipecac, 1 teaspoon, 5 mL per 10 pounds, will induce vomiting, which don't make your dog vomit unless you know it's okay. What
well,
else
that's
for
the trick? Well, wait a minute there. That's what I'm always scared of. Like, how do you, certain poisons, right? If you make your pet throw it up, it's going to hurt your pet more than if you leave it alone. How do you know?
Well, my suggestion is pick up the phone, call your vet or a local emergency facility and ask. And the key, folks, is you've got 2 hours from the time of ingestion until you can induce vomiting and get whatever it is out of there. After 2 hours, that's your window of opportunity. So you have plenty of time. Pick up the phone. This is what happened. What should I do? And chances are you'll get the correct answer on the other side of the phone.
Now, that's if you know what. So if you don't know what's wrong with your pet, should you induce vomiting? I guess not, right?
Absolutely not. You should travel to the emergency facility and explain the situation to the veterinarian, you know, in which case you'll just have to kind of work things out together. You know, other things, a little antibiotic for cuts and scrapes, maybe some artificial tears, or even just some mineral oil to soothe and lube up the eyes if you have some kind of an eye problem. Bandage material, like you mentioned, Deb, a pair of scissors is always great, whether you're, you know, making a bandage or not. I think, you know, those are plenty of the basics. And remember, if you got a sick dog and you live in an area with snow, you know, a lot of these pet stores are selling de-icers like salt and whatnot for your sidewalk. They're charging people a premium because they're telling them that it's safe for pets. Keep in mind that calcium chloride is never healthy or good for any pet. My suggestion is, please don't waste your time spending the extra money on salt. Salt is salt. The thing is, don't let your pets eat salt. Try to keep them from eating snow, which, as we mentioned earlier, is not a substitute for water. And remember, you know, all these chemicals.
And rinse, right? I mean, sometimes the pet comes in salty foot.
Exactly.
Or salty paws. And what are they going to do? It either goes through their skin or through their mouth. But one way or another, it's getting in their system. So clean them off.
Here's what you do. You take a little plastic bottle, fill it 50-50, half rubbing alcohol, half water. Mix it up. Keep it by your front door with a little towel and spritz your pet's feet off when he or she comes inside to get all the caustic chemicals and the salt, et cetera, off of their foot pads so they don't become irritated. And if they look irritated, you can take a little Vaseline and rub it on there. It's very soothing. You can even use coconut oil.
I have decided I have to change my front doorknob because my standard poodle just keeps opening the door. She just opens the door. She knows how to open a door. So I'm going to change it to something slippery and round instead of a lever. But before I do, I plan to film it because it's really funny. It looks like the house is haunted. And I'm going to film it and put it on Facebook, Camp Good Dog, maybe on YouTube. I don't know. You guys can look for that. It's pretty funny stuff.
And, you know, Deb,
you know, be careful what you wish for when you wish for a smart dog. Because,
hey.
Yes.
You know, I was going to tell you, as far as that front door thing, for people that may have multiple pets, et cetera, like you, what I did, my first practice was actually in a house. And because dogs know exactly where the door, the doorknob, and which way it opens is, mm-hmm. if you have a screen door or a glass door that you know, that goes on outside of the regular hard door, put it on backwards. And that way, if a pet zooms and he goes out the front door because it wasn't latched, you'll have about an extra 5 seconds because when he tries to open the screen door or the glass door, he won't know that it's opposite. And sometimes those extra seconds are just enough to grab the pet and avoid an accident.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's
very
what
interesting idea. I'll consider that for next summer. It's a front door in my house, though, so I don't know how that would work exactly.
You just take the screen door and you put the hinges on the opposite side. I have my house hooked up that way.
That's really clever.
Yeah, it works pretty well, I have to be honest with you.
Well, we're running out of time, everybody. If you want to catch more of my shows, I've done lots with Dr. Carol at DeborahWolfOnline.com, or you can always come here to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back again next week, of course. Dr. Carol, do you want to say goodbye? Any special message for Thanksgiving?
Hey, I would love to say goodbye. Have a happy, safe Thanksgiving holiday. Oh.
And don't binge the gravy, right, Dr. Carol? You've told them that before.
Don't binge the gravy if you've got a nervous pet. A little bit of turkey is healthy. It calms them down because of that L-tryptophan in there. And if you happen to live in northeastern Ohio, you have a question or you need some help, give us a call. Chagrin Falls Pet Clinic. Our website, chagrinfallspetclinic.com. And our toll-free phone, 866-372-2765. I'm Dr. Carol Osborne, and I look forward to joining you, Deborah, again on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Show.
Oh, I so hope so. Okay, well, that was Dr. Carol, and what she meant about the gravy is you don't just give your dog a bowl of gravy. That's too fatty. Give him a little piece of turkey, not the bowl of gravy. Be careful where the foil and the leftovers in the pan goes. Your dog will find it. Your cat will find it. So give him a little meat instead. Not the gross parts that you don't want. Not the
ants. And not the bone.
Not the bone.
There you go.
Not the bone. Not the bone. Okay. All right, everybody. This has been Deborah Wolf for Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Until next week, be good to your animals.